Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 30th of June, recording at 9:36 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. The U.S. stock market sold off in here today after an early rally, the Dow closing down almost 100 points. The bond markets were quite firm, particularly U.S. Treasuries, up 30 ticks, 30 seconds on the 30-year long-dated bond in after-hours trading. And the U.S. dollar remains firm, but beneath that resistance at 90 on the U.S. dollar index. And industrial metals, bit of slippage in here today, weaker tone all around. Okay, let's go back to the beginning here. The long-awaited event, of course, was the Fed's expected interest rate increase. Now, remember conditions about a month or so ago. People were saying that Greenspan probably didn't need to raise, well, very few people were saying that Greenspan perhaps didn't need to raise rates at all and would only raise them another 25 to 50 basis points. And he, in single steps, in other words, in 25 basis point steps. Well, we certainly got the 25 basis points rate hike, and it's business as usual in here. So this morning, sentiment had changed somewhat, and analysts were saying that they expected two more 25 basis point hikes to follow this year. I would say we'll get at least that. I've always been on the side that said people have been too cautious or too hopeful in their decisions here recently. So I do expect rates to move higher. That will create a stiffening headwind for not just global stock markets, but I think particularly for global stock markets, but also for other asset classes. And that could spill right over into the gold market too, because the higher interest rates go. And then let's be quite clear about this. Rates of 3.25% are hardly high historically, and arguably, if we had more realistic inflation figures, we would still say that it's almost nothing. And we've got neutral interest rates at best. In other words, inflation is ticking along at a pace that's at least 3.25% in my view. Okay, but getting back to stock markets here, the key action. Well, let's start with Asia. We had softening in Hong Kong. India was strong in here again today. And not much changed on Japan, just up slightly, but that's been looking reasonably firm recently. The European markets were strong. Opened up a bit and strengthened throughout most of the day, and then those rallies began to fade as Wall Street reversed its initial gains today and started to move south. And I think the sell-off on Wall Street, while far from huge, is likely to cast shadow, if not over Asia, certainly Europe on tomorrow's openings. And really, I've been saying that stock markets were in a more difficult period here, that I felt that medium-term rally had really ended as of the end of February. Well, that's certainly been true of Wall Street, but not true of the European stock markets or some of the Asian stock markets. I had also said that if Wall Street ranged, then some of the more interesting stories would continue, and stock markets would continue to push higher, and we have seen mainly ranging from the US market. But the significant developments of late, of course, we had the downward dynamics last Thursday and Friday. Now we had a sharp rally a couple of days ago, but today's action here has more than wiped that out. And these charts suggest to me, and these dynamics on the chart suggest to me that Wall Street is heading lower, going to go back down to that April low, and quite possibly through it. That makes my covering of a number of short positions in here today look a little bit silly. Let me be the first to say it. Now, elsewhere, let's see the government bond market. This is still extremely strong in here, and that, of course, is keeping long-term interest rates low in the USA, which is helping the housing market, which is where we certainly see bubble conditions in a number of the hot sectors of the US property market, and that's got to be a concern for the Fed. My hunch, as I said in comment of the day, is that the Fed they won't have mapped out where interest rates are going to go over the next year or more. They're going to play it by ear, and I think that we'll keep getting the quarter point rate hikes until the US stock market and or bond markets collapse. Well, not collapse would be a bit dramatic, but where we get a clear sell-off. They're not going to collapse. But we could get some quite sharp downward moves. So I maintain that the risks are relatively high in here, but I've been really and many of you would perhaps feel that I've overstated the risks here recently, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but that doesn't mean that the risk isn't still there. Okay, US dollar, this is interesting, and I've got to give the upside the benefit of the doubt still, because we basically have an uptrend and it's a reasonably consistent uptrend. The reason for not feeling quite convinced that it's going to move higher is, of course, that resistance up near the 90 level on the US dollar index. But seeing the dollar hold strongly here and seeing it push up against a number of other reserve currency candidates, such as the Japanese yen, in here, makes me feel that we have not seen the end of this overall dollar rally. Although I remain strongly of the view that we've seen most of the move that we're likely to get. But rising interest rates help to underpin the U.S. dollar, and if you've got rising interest rates and the trend in the dollar's favor, then it is most likely to be going higher. Now, that does mean that we have still a stiff headwind for precious metals, and indeed that could spill over into some of the industrial commodity markets, where people have been a little bit nervous about what's going on in China. Here right now as well. Now, a headwind doesn't mean that it'll necessarily push them down, because I think gold, which closed down a little bit in here today, $1.90, is still up on the month, and the dollar's had a very firm month. But as I've said repeatedly, put it this way, if the dollar were to weaken and head back down towards 80 on the US dollar index from its current level of about 89.5, or just under 89.5, then I have little doubt that the precious metals would take off on the upside. So I think they will take off on the upside eventually, but we're going to have to wait a little bit longer for that to actually take place. But probably enough people realize that gold is an interesting story just to prevent it from falling as much as it might have fallen, let's say, a year or two ago against the background of a dollar rally. Now, something interesting happened in here today Also, I'm to drop back to stock markets for a moment. It happened yesterday, actually. The stock market was, or the gold market rather, had quite a strong day yesterday. We had some very big gains in U.S. traded gold shares, and I think that I haven't seen any news on this, although I was told by one source that a broker had, on a conference call, had two clients had said some favorable or made some favorable comments about gold. And of course, in terms of script, the capitalization of gold shares out there in the marketplace isn't all that large. So if you have a number of investors deciding to move in and buy gold shares, it doesn't take all that much demand to drive them up fairly quickly. Now, some of those gains were given up in here today as the stock market for US stock market fell and the gold price also weakened, but it was an impressive signal overall. And gold shares are, in my opinion, still recovering from a rather depressed level that we had seen at the beginning of the month. Now, were the S&P and Dow and so on to plunge in here, that would certainly drag down the gold shares, in my view, as well. They would probably fall less, so this, if only because fewer people are long and they haven't had the same sort of upside move that we have seen for the indices that I just mentioned. But if the U.S. stock market comes off more slowly, or comes off slowly, let alone ranges rather than fall back to the April low, and then I think those gold shares will continue to do really quite well, unless the dollar rallies so strongly that bullion is really quite weak, and even that might not affect them that much. So it is an interesting area, and on a buy low, sell high basis, these gold shares are still low and improving. Okay, what else to mention in here? I've covered now oil. Remember, oil gave that big downward dynamic, the failed break above the $60 level. It's continued weak in here. The low today looks like 56.50, and it's currently 13 cents above that level. So it's fallen in consecutive days here, and I think this is going to last a while longer. And I do feel that, as I'd said before, that the last move upwards, that move over 60, was driven primarily by speculation, and I think stops are getting hit on a daily basis here. And I won't blow the all clear whistle, technically speaking, for oil until I actually see an upward dynamic on the price, and I think it's going to go a bit lower in here first. That could also pull natural gas back a bit further, and I would love to see that. It's been one of the plays that's appealed to me most in here. And I think that's mostly it. Well, again, the Japanese yen. I mentioned yesterday that the world needs a carry trade, and that as far as I was concerned, looking at both the technical action and the logic based on interest rates, the yen is the most likely candidate. So what I'm saying here is that we may well see a weak yen for not just the short term, but quite possibly also the medium term. Those are really the highlights in terms of markets in here today. Now, I have had some requests just for an update on fitness in the gym and how I was actually feeling in terms of the recovery from the burst appendix operation and so on. So if you're not interested in hearing all that, then switch off here right now. But those of you who are interested in that, here goes. Try to make it brief. The good news is that I did move back into my home gym at the beginning of the month. I had to proceed very cautiously, very slowly, partly because I think I'd said that I had lost, I felt between, what did I say? I think I said between 60 and 80% of my muscle strength over what was at least 12 weeks of real inactivity. I couldn't do anything except walk. And starting initially at the beginning of the month in the gym, as I say, I had to take things very, very slowly. One, because I didn't have that much strength, and also because even a light workout, and I would find that quite painful. The next day for a number of muscles, so you'd have to give them a rest for another day, and so on. So progress was really quite slow, but in the last couple of weeks, and particularly last week, I've been able to step up on that quite considerably, and with less pain overall, and so I continue to regain strength, and I would say at this stage that I've regained 50 to 70% of the strength that I had before. And the appendix actually burst. So I'm encouraged by that, and just a technicality on the in terms of the home gym. I didn't lighten the stacks, or I didn't reduce the stacks in terms of actual weights. I kept them as they were before I got sick. And whereas previously, after an injury or after a hernia operation, for instance, some time ago, I did reduce the stacks, and I felt that it took me too long to build back up again. So I kept the stacks at the same level, which meant for some exercises I could do really very little. But I am so far encouraged that that was a good choice to make, and that I am coming back a little bit more quickly as a result of having done that. And these are not hugely heavy weights. I have never concentrated on building body mass just to keep bone strength and to keep the muscles fit. But the main point is I had to start so very slowly because at the there is a risk of a getting hernias and other types of injuries. And I remember once when I'd had a frozen shoulder or rotator cuff injury a number of years ago, must have been at least 10 years ago, that it really sidelined me for over a year. And then when I did get back, when the shoulder was better, I got a hernia as I started exercise routines, and that was a major bore. So I did proceed cautiously, but things seem to be going quite well. And here the bad news. Let me just finish on out on that circuit machine. I've got July, and I intend to step up the workouts in July, and I would hope to have at least 80 to 90% of my strength back before I go on my summer August cycling trip, Mrs. Fuller's Tour de Gourmand. If you're a veteran subscriber, you'll know that we do that every year. The bad news is that I'm almost certainly going to need some plastic surgery, and that is not going to be for the face, although no doubt I could use that as well. But I do have this nasty, rather large indentation below the navel. That's from the infection that had occurred, the external infection that had occurred, which caused them to open up the upper part of the wound. And I wouldn't be doing that just for cosmetic reasons, but it's being just below the navel. It's underneath the belt buckle area, so it's quite uncomfortable. I can feel it as I sit here in the chair right now. So that's a major bore. I haven't made the decision on that, nor of the doctors, because there's still some healing going on in terms of that outer wound. But that does seem that it is very likely to be necessary. I'm certainly not going to do anything like that soon. I want to get fit and get out and about more, and on my and go through the summer cycling holiday at least. So that's pretty much a wrap on that. And thanks for listening. And thanks for the interest and requests for further feedback. All the best.